Well, do sit down. Now, I need to find a couple of people who know each other really, really well. And let's just think, how about these two here? Yeah, these two will do. Dave and Lisa. I'm not going to do Mr. and Mrs. or anything like that, but that kind of thing. I just want you to, Dave, I want you to think about something, okay? Not say anything. So think really hard about it. Anything you like, just think really hard. And Lisa, right, I want you to tell me what he's thinking. The Rugby World Cup, yeah. Our hearts bleed, don't they? Yeah. No, good effort. Yeah, well, it could have been that, but of course, you don't really know, do you? You don't really know. And I guess that's true of all of us, isn't it? Thanks very much for that. Well, you see, the thing is that some of us might think that we can guess what somebody else is thinking. You know, some of us think that we're sort of experts in body language or reading facial expressions, or, you know, we just know what's on someone's mind, like Lisa there with Dave, and we think we can guess. But of course, if we're really going to find out what someone else is thinking, we need to hear words from that person, words which express what they're thinking in their minds. Now, today, of course, we're marking Bible Sunday. We've already said that's a tradition that's based on that prayer that we just prayed together, which asks that God would help us to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the truth of His Word in the Bible. Now, of course, really, every Sunday is a Bible Sunday, but it is good now and again to think especially about the Bible and what is in it and what it's for. Now, we read from the Gospel of John a little bit earlier, where Jesus had been in a discussion with some of the religious people after he'd healed a man who had been disabled for 38 years. So they were obviously pretty amazed at what had happened, but they weren't really very impressed in another sense. You see, the religious people who saw what Jesus did and heard what he said, like making himself equal with God, didn't like it. Even though God the Father had sent Jesus, they turned against him and started to make plans as to how they were going to kill him. But Jesus continued to speak to them. And that's what we heard, that conversation, in the reading in John chapter 5. It's on page 1073, if you've got a church Bible there. Now, what Jesus said pointed the people then and us today to understand some very important things about God's Word that we now have in the Bible. And the first thing is that God speaks through the Bible. We've already sung that already this morning. God speaks through the Bible. Now, we just were messing about then with Dave and Lisa, trying to guess what's in each other's minds. We can't do that. So what we need is we need words that they can share with us so that we can understand. And here's just a reminder of that. We've got a speech bubble. We need words to remind us. Jesus said in that Bible reading, verse 37, God the Father's voice you have never heard. His form you have never seen. You see, the people then, like us now, have never heard with our physical ears God's audible voice. And we've not seen with our physical eyes what God looks like. But, Jesus says, just a bit earlier in verse 37, the Father who sent me has himself borne witness. See, God is the God who bears witness. God has shown us something of what he is like and something of what is really important. And he's done that in the beauty and order of the world around us. Occasionally, he's caused miracles to happen to communicate something. But in order to explain what those miracles mean, and in order for us to really understand what the world around us is telling us, and to get across what we most need to know in life, God has spoken. Now, it is impossible for us humans to read the mind of God. But he has clothed his own thoughts in words for us. God has spoken and made sure that what he has spoken, using the words and the variety of authors, the different human authors with their different personalities and backgrounds, God has nonetheless made sure, using all those different people, that what we have is his accurate and reliable message, now written down for us in the Bible. So what we have in our Bibles is God's breathed out words, his witness. And the same Holy Spirit who inspired the Bible writers makes his ancient word living and active as God's word for today. And that means we're not actually just left to guess about what really matters. We're not just left to go on our feelings. We're not just left, as the contemporary phrase puts it, to go with the gut to work things out. We're not just left to go with the latest fashions of the world around us and society. No, God speaks, and God still speaks through what he has spoken in the Bible. The Father has himself borne witness, and we hear God speak today by listening to his word from the Bible. God speaks through the Bible. Now, if that isn't the case, then obviously it's very, very important that the Bible's message is heard and engaged with. And one of the organisations that is at work in today's world to help that to happen is the Bible Society. And just for a few minutes, we're going to watch a short video which shows us something of what the Bible Society are doing in order to pass on the message of God's word in the Bible.
Did you know that across the world some 2 million books are published?
Hang on.
Did you know that across the world, some 2 million books are published every year? That's a lot of books. And this one, the Bible, is still among the best sellers. But how many people do you think actually open this book? Take a look inside, see what it has to say. The fact is, our research tells us that 9 out of 10 people in this country don't regularly engage with the Bible. Think about it, that's millions of people every day having nothing to do with this book. At Bible Society, we're working to change that. And this Bible Sunday, we need your help. I've come to see Glenda and her 2 children, Faith and Alethea, who, like most of us, love a good story.
Mrs. Pepperpot, Tiger who came to teach George's marvellous medicine.
Glenda is using Bible Society's Bible Bedtime app to give her children an opportunity to hear Bible classics along with modern day favourites.
My favourite story is Tony Wonderwail. The pictures are funny. Some stories are funny and some that are very sad. It's different to my books because you don't have to open it.
He soon sank to the bottom of the ocean.
What's that?
A whale. It's a whale, isn't it?
I think the fun of the app is that it does make you start to talk about the issues, talk about the stories, try and talk about what's coming next and what the reasons behind the stories are. So it's a really interesting way of telling these timeless Bible stories to the next generation.
Research carried out for Bible Society shows that, unlike Glenda's 2 girls, 3/5 of children surveyed didn't know that Jonah and the Whale is a story from the Bible.
It also showed that nearly half of parents never read Bible stories to their children. Nearly a third of children didn't know that the Nativity is a Bible story, and just over a quarter of parents surveyed thought the plot of Superman was a story from the Bible.
I think we do notice the lack of knowledge. We've been working on the Bible Society's Stories Project and getting students to think about the stories in the Bible, and it's amazing how many of them will open the book and have no idea that some of these were Bible stories.
Those of us that go to church tend to assume that everything's okay out there and that people know about the Bible even though they may not read it very much, but actually the truth is they don't. And there's a whole generation of children that will grow up not knowing these great Bible stories unless we do something about it.
The good news is that 80% of parents whose children have come into contact with the Bible want them to experience more. And that's why we're taking it off the shelf and into places like this.
An upright star announces the birth of the new king, the Jewish Messiah.
Great slogan, pass it on. That's what we're all called to do. Maybe it's in a town centre, maybe it's in a school, maybe it's in some college or a workplace, and actually say, how can we bring the Bible? And the Bible Society's materials are so often just right for that, whether it's with children or adults.
Unless Bible Society can really get out there amongst parents and amongst children and really encourage them to read Bible stories, then in 50 years from now, those great stories like Noah and Jonah and Daniel and the Lion's Den, people just won't know those stories anymore. And for me, that's a tragedy.
Fact is, we're never going to reach out to people with this book by keeping it in here. If we want to pass it on to the community around us, then this Bible Sunday, we need your prayers and we need your support. And together, let's keep the Bible alive for future generations.
Well, we're thinking from John chapter 5 of how Jesus makes clear that God is the God who bears witness. And he does that with the greatest clarity through the Bible. But we also see in John 5 something else. In that reading, we hear Jesus say to the religious leaders he was talking to, "And the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me." Now, can anybody see what's on my picture here? Anybody see what it is? You see what it is? You see what it is? What is it?
A cot with a baby in it.
Absolutely, that's right. I don't know whether anybody's knows someone in their family or friends or neighbour or someone at work or something who's having a baby, maybe their first baby, and there's an awful lot of work goes into it, isn't there? People, you know, try really hard to get everything together. They get all the necessary kit. So they go out and get lots of clothes and nappy changing facilities and feeding equipment, prams. And of course, not least, somewhere for the baby to sleep. A cot. Now, a cot or a crib contains something very, very special. The crib itself, the cot, might cost quite a bit of money. It might have some value. But what really matters, what the most important thing about it is what it contains. Now, the great Christian leader at the time of the Reformation, 500 years ago, Martin Luther, once used that as an illustration. And he said, "The Bible is like the crib in which Christ lies." The Bible is like the crib in which Christ lies. Jesus himself here in John 5 makes clear that the whole Bible is given so that we can find him. And the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. And a little bit later he adds to those religious people who were angry with him, verse 39, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. So you see, the Bible is the way that we hear about Jesus and meet Jesus today. How important then that we read the Bible and hear its message explained. The Bible that is supremely about Jesus. Now we're very blessed in our part of the world to have a great many resources available to us to help us with this. Most of us have access to a Bible. I expect all of us have got a Bible. But there are, of course, digital resources available these days. And if you've got a smartphone or an iPad, a tablet, something like that, you can get various things available. And I put a couple of suggestions on this morning's notice sheet. If you want a copy of the Pew Bible that we have here at church, the ESV, then you can get that for free. It's a great app. You get a whole of the Bible downloaded for free. It'll even read it out to you in an audible voice if you want to listen to it. And you can highlight text and study and search and that kind of thing. So you can easily find that. You just go to the usual place, App Store or whatever, and go for ESV Crossway, as it says there. And of course, it's also helpful to have resources that can help us to read the Bible ourselves and in groups. Now, it may be that there are folks here who would like some help to read the Bible themselves, maybe on a regular basis. There are all sorts of resources available to help with that. And if you're interested in that, you don't have access to them, have a word with me. But can I also commend what I think is a particularly good daily reading help, which again is available now as a free download. It has been in two books that you had to buy, but you can get it now free. For the Love of God by Don Carson. And again, you can see on the notice sheet there how you can search for that and find that and download it for free. Now, Jesus said to those religious leaders he was talking to, the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. So you see, the Bible's supreme purpose is to point us to Jesus, the one in whom there is rescue from judgment and the gift of eternal life. And that message is not just in the obvious parts of the Bible, in the Gospels, the biographies of Jesus, or in the New Testament letters. But also, that message about Jesus is throughout the Old Testament as well. So, the Old Testament books of Moses show us Jesus. As Jesus himself says in our reading, verse 46, if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he spoke about me. And we heard Moses' words looking ahead to Jesus in that reading in Deuteronomy 18. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. And those same books of Moses also speak about the sacrifices that God set up. And they were set up all to look forward to the one who would make a perfect sacrifice for sin. Jesus. Then you've got the Old Testament wisdom books of the Proverbs and Psalms, and they point to Jesus, the one in whom all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden. And then you've got the history books of the Old Testament. Some of us were here last week and we saw that illustrated in 2 Samuel. Those books teach us about human kings, so that we're left longing for the perfect Messiah King, Jesus. And then the Old Testament prophets, they predict this Messiah, where he would be born, what he would do, what he would say, all to show that God has a plan centered on Jesus that he is fulfilling. There's an old rhyme that I think helpfully makes the connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament. It goes like this. The new is in the old concealed. The old is in the new revealed. God has a message through the Bible, and it is all about Jesus. Well, we began thinking about how we can find out what is in someone's mind. And of course, we can't do that unless somehow they communicate with us. If they share words with us, well, then we can know what they're thinking. And God has not just left us to guess about reality and what matters most in life. Jesus reminds us in John 5 that the Father who sent him has himself borne witness. God has spoken, and he speaks through what he has spoken in the Bible. And God's message through the Bible is all about Jesus. The Bible is the crib in which we find him. The scriptures, says Jesus, bear witness about me. Well, let's finish with a prayer. I'm going to use that collect for Bible Sunday again as a prayer. Blessed Lord, who caused the Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning, help us so to hear them, to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that through patience and the comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and forever hold fast the hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.